2016 is the year of more than enough. Regardless of your circumstances now and what your specific need might be, God is able this year, and He's willing this year to declare His name, which is El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. We learned as we saw how God blesses, how He multiplies His goodness in our lives, that with all the trouble Job went through, and nobody lost any more than Job did in such a short time, but God gave him back double what he had before he suffered loss. God pays double for your trouble. So God is the God that blesses us. Then last week we talked about God blessing us 1,000 times more than we are right now. And we qualified it not just about money. In fact, money's the last thing on the list when it comes to God blessing us with so many expressions of His goodness. But Deuteronomy 1 and 11, you'll want to check it out. God will multiply you 1,000 times more. 1,000 times more joy than you have right now. 1,000 times more fellowship and friendships. 1,000 times greater marriage than you have right now. 1,000 times more peace and love. 1,000 times more provision to meet your needs. Then we shifted gears and went to an entirely different level when we looked closely at the miracle of Jesus multiplying the bread and the fish, and how God can take something in His hand and multiply it 5,000 times more than what it was originally. So the only limits there are on God are the limits we place on Him. And today I want to talk to you about the happiest people on earth. I take this from the Sermon on the Mountain. We'll read one verse in just a minute from that sermon. You know, it's three chapters long, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And Jesus started that sermon by telling His followers what you would need to do to be blessed. And in the original language, the word blessed means happy, fortunate, to be envied. You know the Beatitudes, blessed are you if you do this, blessed are you if you do that. What Jesus was actually telling His congregation is, if you want to be among the happiest people on earth, then listen to these words and obey them. But now before we read that one verse of Scripture, and thank God that we are included in the group that is the happiest people on earth, I'm going to just be very real with you. I have a confession to make, and I'll make it right now this morning if you promise you won't judge me. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Craig. I'm going with the no judgment amen there. Well, we've been listening for the word of the Lord about the year. It's always a good thing to do. God, what do you have for us this year? Where are you taking us this year? What is your word spoken over us this year? In the year of more than enough, that's good news for all of us. If you're struggling with a habit or an addiction or any area of your life you need to be set free from, God is more than enough for your deliverance this year. If you are needing money, you don't know where your next paycheck or your next job is, God is more than enough employment for you this year. Whatever your need, more than enough this year. Whatever your need, more than enough this year. I was thinking, and then, you know, God's saying a double for your trouble, 1,000 times more, even 5,000 times more blessed. And then the lottery came along. And my confession is I bought three tickets. Now, I remember there was a time not too long ago where a pastor wouldn't have said that. But I bought three. Now, let me say a few things quickly. I'm hearing the word. You knew it had to happen. I mean, God gives you your word. You want to trust him for the word to come true. And then the enemy shows up with a B plan. And you're thinking, I'm thinking, you know, I'm just going to let you inside my head here for just a minute to tell you all that I've been through this past week. All that I've been through. Some of you can relate. Now, I know if you have a problem gambling, you should stay away from it. Now, I don't have a problem gambling. Now, I've got problems, but gambling is not one. So, I'm believing God for more than enough this year, as you are. And then, you know, all the $1.5 billion. And so, my mind was thinking, like, well, God, that would be more than enough. So, I go to the convenience store down from the house, and I get three. Now, they're $2 a piece, so if you can do the math, I spent $6. $6 on three tickets, and I was hopeful that one of them would be the Powerball. And then, you know, when I bought into it, you know, y'all went crazy. I saw your Facebook. I overheard some of your conversation, and I was on board with it. I'm thinking, oh, God, a $1.5 billion? I mean, if somebody were to hand you $1 million, that would be life-changing, but a billion and a half? And I immediately went through every emotion. I'm not going to ask if you bought a ticket because I know your hand would probably go up. And if so, you've been through it, just like I've been through it this past week. I mean, I went from every emotion, I went to thinking, oh, God, I got a ticket, but Lord, I sort of hope I don't win, because that would be a nightmare. Just imagine if I were the winner. And then I got to thinking, all right, if and when I win, the only way I will ever accept it is if I can be anonymous. I'm just going to be, because I don't want for the rest of my life the world lined up at my doorstep needing some money. And I went through the torture of one extreme. No, Lord, no, don't let me win. Dear God, don't let me win. I don't think I can handle that. I don't need it. Life is too short and it's sweet like it is, so God, spare me $1.5 billion. So then, a few hours later, you were on the journey, I know you. I had the thought, oh, and I told Pastor Steve this. You know what? I really want it now. I want to win, because here's what I will do. If I win, I feel so good about it. If I win the lottery, I'm going to give it all away quickly. And I had a short list, immediately. Some people would be millionaires. I mean, I told Dr. Osborne he would be one. Some of you were on that list. You were right there with him on the list. Then I texted my good friend Laverne Tripp, because, you know, we can dream together. And I texted him and I said, Laverne, I bought a lottery ticket. And if I win the lottery tonight, you will be a millionaire tomorrow. Well, he called me and said, I was thinking about going to buy one for myself, but when I found out you had bought one, he said, I knew you would do the right thing. So, I've been through every extreme, and of course you know I'm not one of the winners. Then how awful would this be? I mean, when you really get your head in it, and I was going for it, I was going to give it all away. I mean, I was going to, and I did tell Pastor Steve this, so I would love it if I had won. I would have. Now, some people say, well, if I win the lottery, I'm not showing up for work the next day. Well, I would, if I had won the lottery Wednesday night, I'd be here right here today doing what I'm doing right now. Now, tomorrow I might take a day off, but but I would have done this. I was accountable. Told Pastor Steve, told a few others. If I win the lottery, every member of our church, I would give them back 10 times what they gave to the church last year. I'd love to do that. Oh, that I said, Lord, let me win just so I can do that. And if you are good at math, and you don't have to be very good, you know, if you are a good tither, that would have been a year's salary for every member of this church. I could have done it and had so much, I wouldn't have even missed it. Talking 1.5 billion. Now, then I went through this extreme. Then I found out there were three winners, and I thought, oh, how horrible would that be to be a winner but have to split three ways. You see how, oh, I was going crazy for a few days this week. But I'm just going to come right out and tell you, as much as God wants to bless us with more than enough this year, money will not make you happy. Wednesday night before service, I was walking around as you were coming in, and some of you were saying to me, the drawing is tonight. And I bought a ticket. And I said, well, if I don't win, I hope you do. And Carol Daugherty, holler, Carol. There you are. She came up to me and hugged my neck. And she said, I bought a ticket. And I said, I did too. And I'm making a list of things I would do with it. I'm making a list of things I would do with it. And she said, I'm making a list of things I cannot buy. And she said, first is salvation. Said, if I had $1.5 billion, I would not be able to buy my salvation. Thank God it's free. And so I began to dig a little deeper on that, and I realized that while God wants to meet every need you have, and that does include finances, the Bible says loudly and clearly, money will not make you happy. In fact, if you have too much more than you need, there will be a temptation to put your trust in materialism. You will fall in love with money, and you will hate God. The Bible says it. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, when the Lord began the Sermon on the Mountain with the Beatitudes, he could have titled that sermon, The Happiest People on Earth. He said, blessed, happy are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In the Greek language, that verse of Scripture in the Amplified Bible brings it out, Jesus was saying, you will be supremely blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, well off, prosperous with life joy and satisfaction in God's favor, regardless of your outward conditions. Supremely blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God, for they shall be completely satisfied. The Message translation says, you're blessed when you work up a good appetite for God. You're happy. You're fortunate. You're to be envied. In other words, Jesus was calling his followers together for a church service when he was teaching on how to become the happiest, most blessed people on earth when he gave them this good news. They could be completely satisfied. Now, hungry and thirsty for righteousness. That's how you'll be happy. Both hunger and thirst are intense desires. None of us in this room know what that is. None of us really know what it is to be hungry or really thirsty. The closest we come is a memory back last summer when it was 108 degrees and we might have been outside for 15, 20 minutes. And we really looked forward to a cold glass of ice water. We don't really know the intensity of what the word hunger or thirst might mean. But in Jesus' day, when he told this good news to his crowd, that they would be blessed, happy, they would be the envy of the world if they hungered and thirsted after righteousness. They understood full well what it was to maybe go a year with a bad crop because of a drought the previous summer. Not much rain, not much crops. They knew full well what it meant to go to bed with their stomach growling with hunger pains. We don't really know what an intense desire, real, raw hunger can be. Now, a meal can be filling. I've had many. Filling. Meals can be filling. Sometimes, though, a great meal is fulfilling. Jesus said, if you will hunger and thirst after righteousness, then you will be completely satisfied. Satisfied. I've got fried on my mind. Before the sun goes down, I'm going to have to eat something fried. How can you be happy and hungry at the same time? Jesus promised in one verse, happy are they who hunger. It's based on what you're hungry for. Anything else you chase, whether it's the lottery, and that would have been nice. If I hadn't won, I wished one of you would have. But if you get it, doesn't guarantee happiness. The only thing that guarantees complete satisfaction, being blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, to be the envy of the world, is to be so hungry and thirsty for uprightness before God that the whole world sees how well God pays those who hunger for Him, and the whole world says, I am envious of what their God gives to them. That's better than the Powerball. Now in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, in the same sermon, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things, everything you need for sustenance and daily living, one day at a time will be provided if we seek first. Now that's so simple, but yet seldom do we really follow that verse on a day-to-day schedule. First, it says seek first. It said seek first. The Greek means first of all, above all else, chiefly and firstly in time, order, and importance. Seek the kingdom and God's righteousness. Seek it above all else. Seek it first of all. Seek it chiefly and firstly in time, order, and importance. The happiest people on earth know what above all else means. I'm training myself to do it now. I'm older now. I'm not old. I said I'm not old. No, you're not. Thank you. I'm just older and still learning. But the first part of the year, I promised myself that in the morning when I get up, the first thing I will try to feed into my spirit is a word. not have an iPad, and the old tendency was to, with my first cup of coffee, crank up the pad and check the breaking news overnight, and, you know, I got a few websites for that, as you do, I go to, but I thought, well, the chief thing, let me pull up my UVerse Bible and read enough first thing until I get a word. Then I'll check the news out, but not first. The happiest people on earth know what above all else means. Above all else. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, what that means is God is not the dessert that comes at the end. God is the appetizer and he's the main course. Above all else, seek him first. David said in Psalm 63 and verse 1, O God, you are my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. The question is, which thirst do you quench first? Which thirst do you quench first on a daily basis? We've got to reprogram, rethink, reset our mind to seeking first, above all else, the kingdom of God. Now, when we do well following that instruction, everything we need will be added. Everything. Jesus went on, the verse after that, when he said, don't worry about tomorrow because sufficient today is the evil thereof. There'll be enough trouble tomorrow and enough trouble today. And the thought there he was presenting is, whatever trouble you deal with today, I'm going to help you meet it. Tomorrow may be a different set of problems. I'll be there too to help you meet that. Don't worry about that tomorrow. You got enough today. And I will help you today as I will again tomorrow. But David said, God, early will I seek you. Early will I seek you. Now, it's easier in January to get your antennas up to try to hear from God because we've trained ourselves over decades. Well, let's seek the Lord some fast early in the year. Let's seek him in January for his plan for the year. And so that's palatable. We've gotten used to that. We sort of expect it and we gear up for that. But it doesn't stop with once a year. Let's break it down to every week. We give God the first day. The first day of the week. The Sabbath is the first day of the week. We give God the first day of 7 days. We assemble together. We call it holy and sanctified to the Lord. We find ourselves at his house listening to his word. We do it on the first day of the week, not the last day. We worship God by giving him the first fruits, not the last fruits or what's left over. We bring the first fruits to him. But then bring it down to a daily basis. That's what David was doing when he said, early will I seek you. He not only meant early in the year, I'll seek you in January for the year. Or early in the week, I'll seek you on the Sabbath for the rest of the week. He also meant early in the day. When I rise up early, the first thing above all else I will do is seek you and your righteousness and your kingdom. And if I do well at that, you promise me everything I need will fall into place. The question is, which thirst do you quench first? Now, if somebody asks you to do something, and you say to that person, I don't have time, what you're actually saying to that person is, it is not my priority. You may say, I don't have time, but what you're really saying is, it's not my priority. David said to God, oh God, you are my God, and early will I seek you. David did not say, I don't have time to seek you early in the morning. God would have known the truth anyway. And David, if you make it a priority, the time will be there. And that's the way it is with us. We should make it a priority to seek God early in our day. Do it as a lifestyle every day. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for, my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. And then Jesus said in this same sermon, the sermon where he talked about how you could be the happiest people on it, the most blessed, the most fortunate, the most prosperous people on the planet. That's his will for his children. He said this, and it's a strong statement. It upsets Wall Street. But Jesus said it. No man can serve two masters. He will love one and hate the other, or he will hate that one and love the other. But no man can serve God and money. Now, I would have passed that test, I believe, of a certain age. But my relief only came when I realized, oh, if I win, oh, God, don't. I went from, oh, God, don't let me win. I don't want the nightmare of this. To, oh, Lord, if I do win, I'm going to give it all away quickly. And Jesus knew it all along. He said, no man can serve God and money. The original King James word is mammon. It really means worldliness or materialism. And I know a lot of people who have too much money and they're miserable and don't ever seem to have enough of anything in their life when it comes to things money cannot buy. But then I know some people who are so happy, they have just enough, not a whole lot left over, but they are upright before the Lord and are so grateful for what they do have. You cannot serve God and worldliness. You cannot serve God and materialism. How awful was the ripple effect in the crowd? Probably the first time the disciples heard Jesus say, you cannot serve God and money. You will love one and hate the other. Now, that just drove the point even further home. It's one thing to say, okay, you can't serve both. But then he takes it to the next level and says, you're going to love one and hate the other. So I know we're somewhere in between right now, probably all of us on the journey as we're growing spiritually, but we're headed to a place to where we will love one or the other, and we will hate the one we do not love, God or materialism. And the answer is simple. To be the happiest people on earth, just take God at his word, seek him first, be upright before him by his grace, and trust him to meet every need you have when he said all these other things will be added unto you. You cannot serve God in materialism. Now, materialism has nothing to do with amount. It has everything to do with attitude. There are some people who have $40 max in all their accounts, and they're so materialistic, so possessed and driven and ambitious for gain. Then there are other people who have much more money in the bank, but they have an upright attitude before the Lord. They're grateful for it. And so that makes the difference. Materialism has nothing to do with the amount. That's why I believe if the Lord wants me to win the next lottery, I'll go on record right now. I'll give all of you 10%, 10 times what you've given the last year. Now, if I was going to be famous for winning the lottery, and I don't want to be, I mean, really, I'd like to do it anonymously. You know, I'm going to go ahead and plan for when I win. I want to be anonymous, and then I want to give every. Wouldn't it be, if I am found out though? If somebody does find out, well, he's the winner. He won the lottery. Then the only joy, I mean, what I would get joy is for people to say, he gave it all away, and he gave every member of his church 10 times what they gave to the Lord in the past year. Now, Lord, I promise you I will. Lord, I'm on record right now. Everybody knows. I promised the Lord I'd love to do that. And the joy would be giving it away. The bondage would be keeping it and having to deal with all that would come with it. I think I'd be in a position to quickly choose, I'm going to serve God and not this money. I'm going to serve God and not money. I'm going to love God and hate this money. I'm definitely not going to hate God just so I can love the Powerball winnings. I think all of us are growing, don't you? God, we got to settle some things. And that one's settled, can't serve two. Going to love one and hate the other. So my hat's in the ring, I'm going to love God. And if I will seek Him first above all else, then everything I need, He's promised He'll add to me daily. And materialism is not about the amount. It's about the attitude of being grateful. Now, David, when he said in verse 1 of Psalm 63, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. A couple of verses later, we see his heart of gratitude. In Psalm 63 and verse 3, it says, because your loving kindness is better than life, better than life. The kindness of God expressed toward me is better than my life itself. David said, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Now there we see a grateful heart. Somebody that's got an attitude of appreciation. God, I see your hand and your blessing in my life. And I want to go on record raising my hands. I'm blessing you every day I'm alive because of your goodness. You have overtaken me with your goodness. I'm going to get up early in the morning and declare you to be my God. Every day I'm going to seek you first above all else. And I'm going to bless you every day of my life. I'm going to lift my hands in your name, and it's because your kindness to me is better than life itself. See how his attitude of being thankful is. And I've learned this. I've learned this while I've been struggling with what would I do with $1 billion. And how that pales in comparison to how wealthy I am already. An essential component to being happy is being grateful. We are never happier than we are grateful. You can have every reason to be happy, but yet if you're stingy and greedy, there's no happiness there. But Jesus said that we can be the happiest people on earth. And after all, shouldn't we be? We are children of the Most High God. We have His Word that promises to meet our needs. He's going to be with us and never leave us, never forsake us, even to the end of the world. We've got all the reasons to be the happiest people on earth. But when's the last time the world has looked at the church and said, I am envious of them? We can leave happy today if we want to. Some people don't think they have much to be happy for. Matthew Henry, for those of you who are school of theology students, and dozens of you have been, you would know the name, Matthew Henry. He's a Bible commentator. His writings are wonderful, filled with revelation. For every serious Bible student, you probably have his library on yourself. Matthew Henry, commentator. He was robbed one time, and he wrote that evening in his journal, and I quote, let me be thankful. Now, he was robbed that day. Let me be thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took everything I had, it was not much. And fourth, because it is I who was robbed, not I who robbed. Let me be thankful. Now, even on your worst day, You can find four reasons quickly to be thankful, even on your worst day. Rather than sulking, you can immediately see the loving kindness of God that's without measure and give God thanks for it. There were four reasons right there. The day he got robbed, he entered in his journal, "I was robbed today, but let me be thankful." You could fill in your own blank. "I was fired today, but let me be thankful." "I was betrayed today by a friend, but let me be thankful." "I suffered a setback today, but let me be thankful." "I got a bad report from the doctor or the banker today, but let me be thankful." How are you going to be the happiest people on earth? By being the most thankful people to God. David connected thanksgiving and gratitude with the blessing of the Lord when he said in Psalm 63, "You are my God. I will seek you early. I'm thirsty for you. My flesh longs for you. The reason is because your loving kindness is better than my life itself. And my lips are going to praise you. I will lift my hands while I live and bless your name." So whatever is going on that could be better, you might think, let me give thanks. Let me seek God first above all else every day. And if I do that, he has promised me everything else I need will be added. We are never happier than we are grateful. The two go hand in hand. That's how we can be the happiest people on earth. Would you stand with me, please? Tell you, I'd like for the praise and worship team to come, Pastor Chris and the singers and musicians. We want to worship the Lord with another song. Give him praise because he deserves it before we go. Bow your heads, please. Father, thank you for the word of the Lord that comes to us clearly today. Thank you that we have an opportunity even now to take a minute and bless you for your loving kindness to us. With David, we declare that we're going to seek you early. We're going to do it first. We're going to do it above all else. Every day, we will start our day with seeking your kingdom and your righteousness. And as we do it, we're the happiest people on earth because of your loving kindness to us. The world will look at us and be envious of us because of how blessed, supremely blessed, how happy, how fortunate, how much to be envied we are, how prosperous we are, and how you meet every need we have. And we begin even now worshiping you. We go on record early, still early in this day, this Sabbath day, well before noon still, early enough still to seek you first today and give you that which you deserve, our worship and our praise. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Amen. Tell you what, would you step out? Let's close this way. Just step out from where you are. Take a step this way, and let's worship the Lord before we leave.